Welcome to another in our series of discussions on the subject of writing scripts for JAWS for Windows. Last time we talked about the while statement, which allowed us to do things many, many times over until a certain condition was met. Talked about the importance of knowing how it's going to terminate. Today we'll start talking about something totally different. Why not? Let's say that we had a group of statements that we were going to do a lot in a lot of different places in our script. You know, in this JSS file, we can have many, many different scripts. Maybe there's some function that we want to perform rather routinely in all of these different scripts, or at least in many of them, and we don't want to write that code over and over. We want to write it in one place and just use it in other places. And that's where the concept of a function comes in to be rather handy. A function is a lot like a script. In fact, it's very much like it, except that it can't be activated directly from the keyboard, cannot be tied to a keystroke. And there are some other interesting things associated with them that allow us to pass information to them and get information back from them. Two basic kinds of functions. There are void functions that they call them void because they don't have any, they don't return any value. They don't have any attributes. You just call them and they do their work and return back to you. The other kind, the not void type, are valued functions. Those actually return something. Let's say that you had a function called distance. And it was a valued function. By simply mentioning the distance function in some line of code, that will cause it to run, and JAWS will replace the word distance with the value that it returned so that it can be used in a calculation. For example, 2 times distance. Well, when it sees distance, it goes off and figures it out, comes back, and puts the number right there, so now you have 2 times that number. And we'll see syntactically how that's put together. It can be actually any data type can be returned, a string or an integer or any of the other data types that we'll talk about, and quite routinely they are. Valued functions are pretty handy for returning back status. For example, if the function does some busy work and it may or may not go well and you'd like to tell the caller whether it worked or not, you can return back a 1 if it worked and a 0 if it didn't work. And that's rather routinely done. So, the key about data type is that if you write a function that's of type integer, it can only be used in a place where an integer would be valid. You wouldn't put a string there, like 2 times a string, for example, is not valid. So you can only use that function in the correct places, and the compiler will generally flag you if you don't. You can also pass information to a function through what we call parameters. You can have 1 or more, or as a matter of fact, you can have no parameters at all, and that is rather routinely done. If the function can get all of the information it needs out of global variables, and that's acceptable to you, you don't need to pass any parameters. On the other hand, if you want to make some unique aspect of the function behave, depending on who called it, depending on what script called it, maybe you want to pass some information into it so it works just on your particular information. And we'll do some of that here, as a matter of fact. And each of the parameters has its own data type. And it looks just like a variable. Let's say, for example,
when
we're in our test function here.
When.
And we need to clean this up a little bit. And by the way, because I'm running short on time, we're probably not going to get to write this function this week. Let me just show you this trick here. Looking for an example to do this. I've got test 2, our little test script up.
Let x equals 1. While left there, let's say integer left there. Let x equals x plus 1. And while. When.
All of that stuff I want to get rid of. Now what I did is down arrow enough to make sure it's on the screen. And actually, I'm right after the end while. Do a root JAWS PC here. This is just a little non-script type tip. So now the JAWS cursor is positioned after the end while.
PC cursor.
Back to that cursor and go up.
End while. Let x equals, say integer. My left there, x less 6. Let x equals 1. Home.
I'm on the L of let x equals 1.
L.
I want to delete that whole thing. So what I've got is my PC cursor on the first character of the first line, and my JAWS cursor on the first, well, like at the left margin on the line after what I want to delete. If I do a shift left mouse click.
Shift mouse click, let x equals 1, my left there, and x less 6 right there, and say integer left there, and x right there, and let x equals x plus 1, and while.
It read the whole block of stuff there because it highlighted everything. It's kind of handy. Now I can just delete that.
Length.
And now it's an empty function, an empty script again.
Length, and script, length. script,
such length. Relief. What a handy way to select a big block of text. Okay, let's write a function, shall we? Let's say that I'm going to speak the distance.
Enter.
Okay, let me need a couple of local variables here to muck length. With, just for convenience. We'll say...
V-A-R, enter, tab, I-N-T, space, X, comma, enter, tab, I-N-T, space, Y, enter.
Follow all that? We got two local variables, X and Y. They're integers. And we're just... This is not the... most efficient way to script this, but this is a way that will demonstrate what we're going to do. Now let's say...
L-E-T space X equals 1.
Now,
one.
Call it 6.
6, enter, L-E-T space Y equals 1, 7, enter.
Okay, I'll put some numbers in there just arbitrarily.
Let X equals 6, let Y equals 17, length.
Okay.
Enter.
Now, let's write a function... to just multiply these two together and return a value to us. That function would have two integer parameters. We want to pass two values into it, and it would return an integer. Well, before we actually use it, let's go write it. And one of the odd quirks about most versions of JAWS, and maybe even the latest, is that in order to use a function in a script, that function must appear earlier in the file, that is, above in the file that you're in, before you can use it. In other words, I couldn't proceed to the bottom of the file and then declare this function, because when the compiler gets to this point in where this script is, it won't have seen that function yet, and it'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. And that's annoying, but that's the way it is. So we'll...
Length, let Y, let X equal, length, and Y, and X comma var, script, S to left, length.
I just up-arrowed there till the beginning of our script. And I hope that's been fixed and changed. That would be terrific if it has. You maybe want to play a little bit in 3.7, because I'm not running that here at the moment. And find out if it's true. Let's write the function. Now, our hotkey for defining a new function was Control-E.
Control-E, the script, general page, script name, colon.
I'll call it multiply.
M.
Big M.
U L T I P L Y.
Okay.
Tab.
Could be attached to key, not yet.
We don't want to attach it.
Tab. Synopsis colon.
Okay, I'll write a thing here.
M U L T I P L Y space key.
Okay. We typed it.
Synopsis colon. Multiply two parameters and return the product.
All right, that's good enough for me.
Tab.
Description colon.
There's the description where you put the detailed information if it's tricky stuff.
Tab.
Category colon.
We don't worry about category yet.
Tab.
Function returns colon.
Here, this says, now, this is a little different. When we defined a script, if you recall, we said, we went and checked the little checkbox that says can be attached to key. And that changed some of the things that we're encountering here now as we tab across. We won't get a hotkey, for example. Instead, we have this thing that says, what's it going to return?
Function returns colon handle.
I did a down arrow there. To go through the list of things that we can return, and...
Function returns colon int.
Yes, an int is what I want, so we're going to leave it there.
Tab return description colon.
Okay, now I'm going to put in a little bit of text here describing what this thing returns.
E-A-E.
The product of the two parameters.
And that's what I typed in, and I saved you a little bit of pain.
Tab okay.
All right, now we're back to the okay, but we're not really done, it turns out.
Tab
help.
Tab general.
All right, here's the general tab, and if I do a right arrow here...
Parameter tab.
We are in a different window, or a different page of this same basic dialogue, and we're going to describe what the parameters are.
Tab, existing parameters, colon, zero items.
We have a list of existing parameters, and there's nothing in it at the moment.
Tab, new parameter, colon.
All right, here's the new parameter, and I get to give it a name. Well, I'll just call it X. S. Okay.
Tab. By reference, not yet.
By reference is not something we're going to talk about yet.
Tab. Description, colon.
This would be the multiplier.
M-U-L-T-I-P-L-I-E-R.
Okay.
Tab. Available types, colon, not selected handle.
It's an integer.
Handle. Int.
I down arrowed to int.
Tab. Add.
Well, now there's the add button, so we'll add that.
Enter. New parameter, colon.
Now, it moved us back to the new parameter thing where we can define another new parameter. But if I shift tab here to get to the list of existing parameters.
Shift tab, existing parameters, colon, not selected int x.
Yep, the int x is in there, but it's not selected. That's fine. Go a tab again.
Tab, new parameter, colon.
Back to the new parameters, and we now need y.
Y.
Okay.
Tab, by reference, not checked. Tab, description, colon. Description, colon.
What's the description of this? It's the multiplicand.
M-U. L-T-I-T-L-I-C-A-N-D.
Isn't that the right term?
Tab. Available types, colon, int, 204.
Yep, and it defaulted it to an integer. How nice. I like that.
Tab. Add. Enter. New parameter, colon.
All right, I'll do a shift tab to the list here and check out what we've got.
Shift tab. Existing parameters, colon, not selected index. Index multiplier. Int y multiplicand.
Multiplicand. Okay, that's all right. So that's what we've got, and there's a remove button over there that we can go over and delete this parameter if we don't like it. But I think we're fine, so we'll find the okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we're defaulted on that. I did insert E there and found out that's the default button, so I can just push enter.
Enter. Notepad.jss.
And now, what's our line say?
Blank.
Oh, it's blank. Yeah, we're in between two interesting lines of text now. Let's go up.
Blank. Int function multiply left paren index comma int y right paren.
Okay, that's kind of fast.
Int function multiply left paren index comma int y right paren.
Let's break it down. Break it down for me, Bala. It says int. At the left margin, that says we're going to this is going to return an integer value. The next word is function.
Home function.
That tells the script compiler that that's what this baby is. This is a special type of deal, not a script but a function.
Multiply.
There's the name of it.
Left paren int.
Now, you've wondered about this left paren, right paren stuff. It always is used to describe a script or a function. And normally what goes between the two parentheses is a set of parameters. If there are no parameters to pass, you just put left paren, right paren, right facing one another. So that's why we have it. We always see it whenever we have a function. When I mentioned the name, multiply, to use it, I had not defined any parameters. But to tell it that it's a function and we're calling this function, we always have to say multiply left paren, right paren. In our case, we have to say multiply left paren and then two numbers to actually feed this function. It requires two numbers, not an optional thing. So where were we? We're at the left paren here. Left paren.
I-N-T.
Okay.
Space. S. Comma. Space.
There was the X value.
I-N-T. Space. Y. Right paren. Length.
By golly, that's the deal.
Length.
I went down to the next line, and we can actually write the code for this function, and it's quite simple. In our particular case, we're going to say return
R-E-T-R-U.
Whoops, let's spell it right.
U-R-N space left paren X space star space Y.
Whoops, I don't even know.
Y.
Shift there.
Right paren.
Okay. Return.
Return left paren X star Y right paren.
Now, the return statement is something that functions do when they want to terminate their execution. And you can stick returns in anywhere you like, actually. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be at the end. But it's handier if it's at the end, and there's only one way to get out. Our function now is...
int function multiply left paren index comma int y right paren. Return left paren x star y right paren. Length.
And down here is an end function.
Length. End function. Length.
Okay. The star means multiply. Now we can use that. Let's go down to our script.
F2. F2 left paren right paren.
I did the F2 to just go to the next script, and that's where we are.
Script F2 left paren right paren. Home. Index comma bar. Index comma. Int y. Length. Enter.
We have our two local variables there that we have set to some values.
Let x equal 6. Let y equal 17. Length.
Now we're going to do our say integer. And this is kind of wild. Let's take our control I.
Control I. Insert function 1, function name.
This is cool. I'll show you the list of functions here again, where we can look at the 400 or 500 some odd possibilities that we can use.
S to A slice I. To say integer, this is a string of numeric data.
Okay, that's the one I wanted, was say integer.
Enter. Type a variable name or choose a script function that will provide numeric data period.
Okay, now it wants me to either put these numbers or something in here that represent an integer, and what I want is my multiply function, which this guy probably knows about. And I think if I do an Alt-I, I can go into another version of this list of possible scripts.
Alt-I, insert function 1, parameter 1, insert function 2, function name, %, the result of the modulus operator left there.
Okay, there's a bunch of stuff, and what it's going to do is come up with things that return integers, because it knows the say integer function I am defining in the at the outer level requires an integer. So now it's presenting me with integer options, and I'll just start typing my
multiply.
It knows about my multiply. Is there a help here? Let's go tabbing and looking for it.
Tab function name multiply one tab cancel tab next tab finish tab description colon blank.
No.
Tab returns colon the product of the two parameters.
Well, it's, you know what? It didn't present the synopsis. It presented the description. And had I typed something in the description field, it would show up here. But I was being chintzy and didn't. I'm sorry about that now. But you can learn from my mistakes. Enter. We'll go now to filling in the parameters for multiply.
Enter. Parameter 1. Multiplier.
The multiplier, we'll call it X. That would be our variable X.
X. Enter. Multiplicand.
The multiplicand will be our variable Y.
Y. Enter. JavaScript manager dash left bracket notepad dot JSS right bracket insert function 1 parameter 1 parameter 1 multiply left there S comma Y right there and type a variable name or choose a script function that will provide numeric data.
Now where we are is in the outer level where we did that first control I to define the say integer function, and it needed an integer parameter. We went the alt I and it got the multiply function, and now we're done with that inner level. Now we're back to the outer level. We can just press enter to okay that.
Enter. Notepad.js.
And we're back to the JSS file, and our line says
say integer left there and multiply left there and S comma Y right there and right there and.
Okay. Kind of fast. Did you get it? Say integer left parent multiply, because multiply is going to return the integer we want, and then another left parent, X comma Y, then two right parents. The first one closes the multiply function. Second one closes the integer function. Let's see if that compiles.
Yes, compile complete. Notepad.j.
It does. And 6 times 17 is something like 102.
Alt tab. Untitled dash notepad. Untitled notepad. 102.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. I push the F12 and it says
102.
By golly. JAWS can multiply. In the case of the multiply function, it would have been perfectly legal for me to poke numbers in there instead of X and Y. I could have put the numbers in directly. Or I could have maybe even mentioned other functions that return integer numbers. So there's a lot of flexibility in how you nest these function calls together. You can have functions returning values to provide to other functions. Are you dizzy yet? If you have any comments you'd like to make about the series or questions you'd like us to discuss here on the air, send your messages to scriptman@acbradio.org.